Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we get into a conversation about, what's going on in the world of, I'm just going to call it customer experience, from an agency point of view. And we're just going to understand, what's happening, in that particular space, talking to the team, from Wavemaker, specifically, Tammy Wilson Schultz, who is the Chief Strategy Officer over at Wavemaker South Africa. And we're just going to be getting, some insights into what's going on from that point of view. A little bit of, background. They do say that Wavemaker is, is the second largest media agency network in the world. That's at least what I've been able to find out. But Tammy will give us a little bit more insight. Tammy, greetings to you today.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, Mudiwa and listeners.
All right, Wavemaker, second largest agency network in the world. What do we say?
That's absolutely correct. So Wavemaker is obviously part of the bigger group WPP. And through a lot of hard work and acquisition across the globe, we have been able to secure that spot. You'll also have seen quite recently all the work that's been done from a CAD perspective. So just in terms of the clientele and the base that we have, it continues to grow.
And are you able to share, whether globally or locally, some of the clients Wavemaker helps with? Because, that tends to be, the bread and butter of agency work.
Yeah, so locally we do have quite a few global clients. And then we've also got quite a few local clients from a South African landscape perspective. It's really important for us to, yes, have the global learnings and have that exposure working with global clients. But it's also really important for us to be able to do work on our local clients and bring our local flea from a South African landscape perspective. So globally, we've got the likes of BMW, we've got Colgate, Danone, Netflix, MSC Cruises. And then locally, we've been spoilt to look after quite a few of the local FMCG giants. So the likes of Tiger Brands. We've also had the privilege of working on Pick n Pay before they in-housed the business. And then we've got a school as well, the likes of Curo. I know I'm missing quite a few of our clients, but that's off the top of my mind, some of our local and global constituents.
So when it comes to, the nature of the business, of course, you guys sound like you have a very strong roster of clients that are there. And what we typically think about when we think about agencies, there's a spectrum of things that are happening there. From strategy work, media, advertising, public relations. In certain cases, there's also investor relations. In some cases, there's a bit of risk management as well. It just depends. Branding, strategy, all of that stuff, happens on the spectrum. For someone who might be asking, what does an agency have to do with, let's say, creating platforms? And stuff like that, because my understanding is that there's a tool that you guys have in place or that you guys have been able to create. Maybe you could give us a little bit of insight into that.
Okay, so from an agency perspective, there's so many of us out there, and for us it's really important to collaborate cross agencies. So you get your creative agency partners, media creative agency partners who would work on the communication strategies, the creative ideas, and the comms plan. And then from a media agency perspective, we really work on where the consumer is, what matters to them, and how we're going to reach them in a meaningful way. So marrying those two kind of agency unique capabilities to bring strength to the brands that we work on is key for us. So from a wave maker perspective, we've got an amazing tool called the customer experience journey. And what the customer experience journey does is it's a diagnostic tool and it measures where the brand currently is. It kind of stacks you up against our key competitors. And then what we kind of try and do is peg where exactly we are in the journey. So previously, marketers would have known it as the funnel, where there's awareness, consideration, and then purchase. But from a wave maker perspective, we look at it from a four-pillar perspective, and we see that journey as being circular. So from a priming perspective, where do our consumers sit? How aware are they of the brands that we work on? And of course, the competitors that's within that landscape. What are the triggers that actually set them on a path to go and find us? Within the active stage, what are the things that they actively consider before they make that purchase? And then, of course, what happens at purchase? Is it more price that kind of sways a consumer? Is it loyalty? What exactly are those triggers? So our CX journey tool enables us to peg where our brands currently are. And then together with our creative agencies, we work on communication plans and media strategies to really bring the best to our clients at every point of that journey.
And when it comes to, I guess, something like that, in a practical sense, of course, you're using it to place, where clients might be relative to their competitors. When it comes to, I'm guessing it's within a specific area, so maybe you want to see a share of voice, or maybe you're trying to see or sentiment, all of these things, that are out there. Maybe one of the things I'm quite curious about before we dive, a little bit deeper into the tool itself is, the use of platforms like this, when it comes to the type of work that Wavemaker is doing, how important is it, right? And the reason I'm saying that is because when people typically think of agencies, you're thinking, oh, these are creatives. They're there to dream up things in life on behalf of businesses, and you don't normally think about it within the context of data, within the context of, strategy and business outcomes. So maybe you could talk to us about, the place of technology in a business like a Wavemaker.
So from a CX journey perspective, I think what sets it apart is that we've actually got proprietary tools that plug into it. So it isn't an opinion of somebody or a gut. It's actual research that goes into the tool that feeds information to you about your brand at every point of the journey. So the reason it's so important, I mean, a lot of our clients, and I speak locally and globally, they don't necessarily have the investment to go into lengthy research to find out what the consumers think about their brand, where they currently paid. And so this becomes a really powerful tool if you get to understand the perception of your brand with the consumer, the knowledge that consumers have about your brand. And it puts you in a better place to know which levers to pull when you're going out to market. So we've seen over the last couple of years that tactics have become a really important part of marketing. But from a brand building perspective, there's a lot of brands that are suffering because, yes, and I'm going to use Prime as an example. They went out with a big bang and they really captured the hearts of the younger consumers, which every single brand is trying to do. But the longevity of that brand is questionable because the brand building work was not done. And so from a CX journey perspective, it really pegs you in perception, knowledge, your potential as a brand. It also kind of pegs you on the triggers, the active mental availability phase. And it helps you really strengthen your brand where it is weak in the consumer's minds. So that's really the power of this tool. And again, I think if you have a look at what feeds into this from a data perspective, it really does inform what we do. It's not based on an opinion. It really is based on research that's been plugged in and actual listening tools that's been plugged in on the back end for us to make informed decisions from a business perspective.
All right. And when it comes to, I guess, something like that, how far can we, how far can we go? And when I say how far can we go, I mean, are we using the tool as Wavemaker internally, you know, on behalf of clients, or do we also give access, you know, to clients, you know, of the platform so that maybe internal teams inside companies can also be following, you know, for themselves? Because I guess there's a paradigm in certain senses where periodically, you know, people get a report, and they're not 100% sure where this report comes from. Whereas in certain cases, you know, people, you know, take the approach where it's like, hey, you follow with us. Here's the thing. Here's the platform. And you can see the same things that we are seeing. What's the approach from you guys?
So from a tool perspective, it is something that sits within our operating system called the Wavemaker OS. So Wavemaker employees have been trained to use the tool, and so we are the custodians of it. We do work differently with different clients, and so some of our clients may require access to this kind of information on a quarterly basis. In that instance, we will run a report for them on a quarterly basis to see if any of the needles have shifted based on the activity that was planned or strategized. There are some teams who may only need a cadence of once a year. And so we'll incorporate this kind of insights and information at the end of the year when we either do a big review or when we're doing an annual strategy. So it really does depend. But in terms of access to run a report, that sits with the Wavemaker team because it's housed within our operating system. And anytime that our clients need access to see where exactly they are, they can just reach out to us and we run this kind of diagnostic test for them.
From a unique selling point of view, because as much as you're working on behalf of your clients, right, as an agency, you're also competing in the market as well, right? You did mention earlier on that you guys have your own proprietary elements, you know, to the platform earlier on, and that there's a sea of competition out there. I think you sort of touched on it, but willing to go a little bit deeper about the competitive edge that tools like this can have, you know, for an agency, because there's a lot of competition, you know, with agencies, especially some of the, what you call the, some of the top ones, you know, the global players. So I'm just wondering, you know, from that point of view, just how competitive it makes you guys as Wavemaker.
Yeah. So just from a competitive edge or a USP perspective, and again, I've been in the industry for over 14 years. I have not seen a tool like this before. I've seen components of it within every single agency, but I've never seen a diagnostic tool sit in one place that's housed with all the information gathered in a central place. So, for example, you can get a social listening report from the social community management team that likely sits with a creative agency. You could get a triple M study, if that is something that you've opted for, with the likes of Kantar or Nielsen's. But from a WPP perspective, we've got the longest established equity survey that sits within this diagnostic tool that feeds us information around brand strength, brand equity. We've also got our proprietary research that's called Momentum from a Wavemaker perspective that plugs into this. And this particular research is customized to a category and a brand that's been run globally. We've also got our over 200 categories that's plugged into this. Now, overlay that with what everybody else has access to, such as Google Trend data. We've also got shopping search data from a Google perspective. And then we can plug in our clients' sales data into the store. I have never, ever come across any tool in the industry that houses all of this information in one central place. I have seen bits and bobs of it across different agencies, but never a singular view that shows you where you sit in the spectrum from one source.
All right. I think when you put it like that, it certainly makes sense, you know, why that then becomes a competitive edge, having all of that information and diagnostics under one, you know, under one label in one particular place. Shifting a little bit, you know, to something like from a strategy point of view, just the last one on my side is to say, because of the platforms, right? Because platforms tend to take on a lot of technologies, a lot of technology cost. How do you bill for use of the tool?
So the really amazing part is that if you are part of the Wavemaker stable or family, this kind of information is at your fingertips at no additional cost. If you are a client who would like to get access to this, but you are not necessarily a client of Wavemaker, this is a project that we can run from an out-of-scope perspective because it is not media-specific. It gives you a view on the consumer experience journey. And so it gives you the information and the insights. So it's open to external clients at a cost. But for Wavemaker clients, it does come as part of the insights and strategic thinking that comes with us.
All right. Okay, cool. And then the other one is, if we shift even more, is this is the longest I've had a conversation with someone in 2024 around a technology or a platform, and the words artificial intelligence have not surfaced yet in this conversation. Is that a thing at all in the Wavemaker universe?
Of course. So AI is actually built into our operating system. And I think the reason we don't mention it as often as a lot of the other agencies are mentioning it is because we've been using AI longer than, well, way before 2024. So from our operating system perspective, there's AI built into the back end that helps synthesize this information in real time so that when we're running a report for this quarter, we don't have to wait 2 weeks for the information to come through. Through the assistance from an AI perspective, it helps interpret the data much quicker than a human would. Of course, we would still need to go through all the data points. We do the inputs. From an AI perspective, it helps diagnose and synthesize the data that goes in. So AI is definitely a big part of our tool set. It's something that we've been using for quite a few years, and it's plugged into the likes of the CX journey as well.
All right. How has your life changed as someone in the industry? And I'm asking that because of something that you said just now. Where you are talking about all having all of this different information in one place, right? In the industry for basically a decade and a half now, you know, you're in a strategy role and the like. Maybe you could give us a sense of, because the question I'm asking is more around technology is usually there to solve an issue or a pain point, right? And the obvious advantage that, let's say, your system has now is having all of that information in one place, right? But my question is more around from a client point of view, right? How have engagements with clients changed, you know, over time, and the type of information that they're looking for, you know, whether that's customer insights or anything like that, right? Yeah, maybe you could just talk to us about how things have changed in the time that you've been in the industry.
So, Madiba, the funny thing is, okay, the way I view technology, I view it as a companion. For me, it's never been there to solve an issue, but it has been there to enhance things that we do. And so the kind of requests and how it's evolved over time, from when I was a digital planner to when I moved into strategic thinking, into client leadership, and now the CSO at Wavemaker, the kind of requests have not changed from a client perspective. It really hasn't. I think the speed at which they need the information is what has changed. So because of technology, they are expecting things to be a lot faster. They are expecting things to be a lot sharper. And that has been the expectation that's changed over time. But the information kind of remains the same. There are a couple of themes that come up. So you've just mentioned AI. When there's a buzzword in the industry, it becomes the buzzword until the next thing comes. But we haven't really understood what the previous buzz can do for us at its full capacity. And so I have not really come across our clients from a South Africa perspective who are obsessed with the next kind of trend or so. But they are really obsessed with getting things at the speed of lightning. They are still asking the same questions. That hasn't changed. But there's an expectation that technology should be there to make our life easier and faster. That's been my experience.
All right. Yeah, because, you know, when you think about evolving business expectations and business outcomes, it does seem as if in certain industries, the types of things that people would have been paying attention to, you know, are completely different. In our sector, for example, you know, once upon a time, people really cared about print circulation numbers, right?
No one's asking but now, anymore.
But now it's how big is your online audience? You know, what is the retention time on an article? Or, you know, how many articles does a person maybe get through in a single sitting on the site? You know, all of those types of things, right? Those are the types of things that people now care about, at least in our sector. Same with radio. There's this very innocuous metric called the RAMs, which helps to determine audience size. But you know, it can be a tough one. But with streaming, you know exactly
the numbers,
you know,
are the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are the numbers. And from that point of view, then the data, the numbers, because if we're going to talk about buzzwords, right, the previous buzzword before AI was data analytics, right? And you said something very interesting, that people often move on to the next buzzword without necessarily understanding the full capability. The full capability of, you know, what's going on the other side, right? So, it is an interesting one from that point of view. And yeah, that's why I just had to ask that particular question. And one of the things I was then going to just be curious about is, it's good and well to have tools like this, and we can have all types of conversations about, you know, nerdy, you know, analytics and data and all of that stuff. But when the data does come through, when you guys are reporting, when you're engaging with clients, you know, whether, you know, C-suite and the like, right? How much resistance or acceptance is there of, you know, the data that does come in, right? Great, we've got the tool. But now when it comes to actually what's coming out, you know, from, you know, the platform, how much resistance or acceptance is there in what's there? Because some people be like, no, but I know my industry. I've been here for many decades. There's nothing that your machine can tell you that we as operators in the space haven't seen. Yes. So just curious about that one.
So we've had a really positive response from our clients when we do run this kind of diagnostic test for them. And we have a lot of questions, as they would be. So one of our big global clients, for example, we ran the analysis and they had a ton of questions. First of all, what's the source of the data? What's the time period? Are there any other data sources that we can plug in because they're seeing a different view? What we oftentimes find is that the data that we're pulling in and giving them insight into is complementary to what they've got, as opposed to vastly different. The difference with the information that we are able to provide, or the insight that we are able to provide, it's actionable from a media and communication plan perspective. And so we have, I cannot say that we've been getting resistance from our clients. There's a lot of curiosity, a lot of workshopping that needs to happen because they want to make sure that the data sources that we're using are credible, that they understand it. And so driving the education around the data plugins on the back end is what's been a game changer. So once our clients understand exactly where the data is coming from, how it's pulled together and kind of calibrated, there's a lot of excitement with the kind of information that we're getting because it really does give them that competitive edge to get to know what's happening from a consumer perspective with their brands, especially on brands that haven't been able to do brand equity studies due to budget constraints. This is a really, it's a powerful view and tool of information for them.
But even in the world of AI, we have accepted that there is some margin of error. Does the system ever get things, you know, wrong or, you know, perhaps not entirely correct?
So we haven't run into a scenario like that. What it will do is it won't give you a result. So if there's not sufficient data, or if a data point for one of the pillars do not exist, you won't get a reading. And so then there's alternatives. I'll give you an example. There was one of our clients, we ran the diagnostic for them, and in one of the phases, which is the purchase phase, it didn't give us a diagnosis on where they currently sit against the competitors. What we then did was we reached out to them and asked them for their sales data. Once we got the sales data, we were able to plug it in and then give them again a full view. So the tool again is there to enable conversations and for us to put together strategic plans to combat each of the journey or phases within the journey, as opposed to kind of arguing about is it right, is it wrong. We've already kind of done the education job and the credibility job around the data plugins that go in. But in instances where we don't have a reading, we ask for client data.
Okay, cool. I think that makes sense because, you know, there tends to be a lot of risk, you know, when it comes to something like that. But if we haven't, if the systems, you know, don't try to make a guess, you know, or anything like that, then that's definitely good. Lastly, this is a broader question because there tends to be some, I won't call it tension, but for people to engage an external agency, there tends to be like a threshold or a place that you reach where you're like, okay, fine, you know what? I think we need to engage some specialists here. Typically in South Africa, at what point? Of course, you guys have big global clients, but for a typical business in South Africa, at what point do they start engaging with an agency? Are they now listed? Are they now like a billion rand business? At what point do they engage a wave maker? At what point is that now appropriate?
That's actually really important. So a lot of clients that we work on, I wouldn't say that we have a minimum threshold that you need to have X amount of profit or turnover or media investment to be able to work with us. We work with clients on different levels. So from a Wavemaker perspective, we've got a host of services that we render. Strategic is one of them. So there are clients that may just need a strategy done for a year. And then we do reviews with them, you know, as and when they need it. There are clients who don't need the strategic side of things, and they maybe just need a specialist team to run their media for them. So they put together the plans, they reach out to us and ask us to do the planning and the buying. We've also got consultancy. So there's no business too big or too small from a Wavemaker perspective, who we will or won't work with. We literally have our doors open for any clients. So whether it is consultancy that they require, whether it is a data strategy that they require, whether it's media buying services that they require, we literally work with any brand, any client who needs our support.
All right. So that's where we land today's conversation. It has been a really great one, just chatting to Tammy about, what's happening in the, I'm just going to call it the media advertising agency space, because as we have said on at various times during this discussion, there is a spectrum, of things that can be offered. There is a whole host of services that can be done. But more importantly, we were just chatting about the place of technology, when it comes to enabling, all of that. One of the key things that Tammy spoke about is that the type of insights and the type of requests that businesses, that clients have been asking for or continue to ask for has not changed, at least, during the time that she's been in the industry. What has changed is the speed, that clients are expecting certain information, to come through in. And that's where, the likes of AI become important, from a reporting point of view, as opposed to doing it periodically, you can do it a little bit more either real time or at least, shorten some of the lead times to make something like that happen. Also talking about, resistance or acceptance to some of the information that, gets churned out because you are dealing with companies that are specialists in their sector. And, some might be, open to learning, what others are seeing in the space. But, others, might be a little bit resistant and say that they know their industries more. But at least for now, Tammy saying that there's they haven't encountered something like that. It's more complimentary than anything else. You will have lots of questions, that will likely come through. But at least for now, there does seem to be an openness, to what's going on. And especially if companies feel or think that they are getting an edge, in terms of insight or an edge in terms of how they're going to position themselves against their competitors. So that's been it. We're in conversation with Tammy Wilson-Schultz. She is the Chief Strategy Officer at Wavemaker. Tammy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Madhua.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.